Hello again. There is a wide gap between the official populations of cities in Britain, as recorded in the 2021 census, and the actual consumption of food, water, electricity and so on in those same cities. Supermarket chains, for example, often work on the assumption that the actual population of some cities is 10 or 20% higher than official estimates. The reason for this disparity is not hard to find. Put bluntly, the larger the immigrant community in the city and the more foreigners living in it, the more likely it is that many of those people will be invisible to official eyes. That is to say, not on the electoral register or registered for council tax, not paying for a television licence, working without a national insurance number and so on. That means, in effect, that although technically the population of London might be 9 million or 9.5 million, in reality you could probably add a million to it without being far off the mark. There are various reasons for this situation, but I don't intend to explore them in this video. I simply want to talk about the way things are, not why they are like that. First, a personal reminiscence. I am very much part of what is known as the gig economy. That is to say, I do not have an employer, but do various things to earn my living. A bit of this and a bit of that, as you might say. In 2011, I spent a few weeks working as a census enumerator. I had to visit addresses in Hackney to see why people hadn't returned their census forms. These were the streets between Clapton Road and Stoke Newington, and it was an education to see the difference between what the record showed and what the actual case was. Many of the larger houses were split up into bedsits and small flats, and on the old electoral register there might typically be no more than 3 or 4 names for that address. It wasn't hard to work out when I'd knocked on all the doors in the place, though, that there might easily have been 5 or 10 times that number living there. Whole families, some of whom could not speak any English, shared a couple of rooms. The Orthodox community round there, Jewish Orthodox that is, are a law unto themselves, and since there is an absolute prohibition in Judaism on counting Jews, at least according to the Talmud, it was a hopeless enterprise anyway. It was clear from visiting a couple of yeshivot religious colleges that there were far more in the place than the single name on the electoral roll. Then there's the question of all the new houses which people have built in back gardens. Using Google Earth shows the situation clearly. If you look at those streets that I was working on for the census, say if you follow a road like Osbaldeston Road south from where it intersects with Cadenoff Road, this is near Stoke Newington High Street, you will soon see that the large back gardens of all those houses are covered in buildings. Some are extensions to the house, others are little bungalows which stand alone. It is literally impossible to work out how many people live in those houses. Even those who are not officially houses of multiple occupation but ordinary family homes sometimes have 12 people living in them, but only 1 or 2 people on the electoral roll and counted by the census. Trust me, I know I was supposed to be counting them. It's like this in many parts of London, such as Brent, Redbridge and so on. The back gardens have all but vanished and been built over. You see, the bylaws relating to such things were drawn up at a time when there was no requirement to tell anybody if you were going to erect a shed in your back garden or build a Wendy house for your kids. So slack is the legislation that it gives plenty of scope for people to build actual little houses at the end of their garden, or perhaps shove a bed in the shed and rent it out to a fellow countryman who cannot get a flat. It's not just London either. A few years ago it was estimated that in Slough there are over 6,000 such beds in sheds, as they call them, people living in an irregular fashion in back gardens. From time to time, some enterprising local authority will hire a helicopter with an infrared camera and then fly over a densely populated district to see what they can bring to light. They often find that whole streets have sheds and miniature buildings in their back gardens, which, judging by the heat signature which shows up on the infrared, are occupied. It would take years to tackle every one of those houses, years in time and an absolute fortune in legal fees. After all, I have a shed in my back garden, and there is nothing at all to stop me sleeping in it if I wish. Proving that people are living permanently in such places is all but impossible. The situation is not limited to just run-down inner-city areas either. It's becoming a big thing in the small Essex town in which I live, which is Loughton. Since the little local church of St Nicholas was handed over by the Anglicans to the Romanian Orthodox Church a few years ago because they'd wanted to save money on maintaining it, Romanians have flocked here on Sundays, and many have started to buy property here as well. They're moving to Loughton. One of the first things they do, usually, is look at the back garden and see it as so much wasted opportunity, as land doing nothing. They don't want flower beds and lawns. They want to build on it. The thumbnail to this video shows a typical example of this locally. Behind the wooden gate and fence that you can see, was a parking space at the end of a man's garden. When the house was bought by an enterprising Romanian, he had a little house no bigger than a garage built on that parking space. It really is tiny. It could pass for a fashionable garden room, except that only a blank wall faces the house. It's got nothing to do with the house anymore. The door to the building is round the corner and faces the street. It is cunningly concealed behind the wooden gate that you can see in the photograph. For those who wish to look at this enterprising project, it is next door to number 2 Hatfields in Loughton, although the people living there are not connected with the business at all. In due course, when it is finished, this little house will be rented out. The people who live in back gardens in this way do not pay council tax, but still enjoy the services that the rest of us pay for. It's one of the reasons that council services are under such a strain, because they are providing all kinds of things for people who do not pay a penny towards them. And this is why we have no idea at all how many people really live in London or any other large city in this country.